We're studying the life of Joseph. And Bible gives us 13 chapters in the book of Genesis on the life of Joseph. And the reason it does, because Joseph was important. Last week we found out that he grew up in a very dysfunctional family. But it doesn't matter what kind of family you grew up with or grew up in. It matters if you will trust God with a dream that he has given you. Will you trust God? I know we can make excuses and say, well, you don't know where I come from. You don't know what abuse I've been through. You don't know the kind of racial abuse I've been through. You don't know what kind of, I grew up without food. And you can make all of these and you would be right. Or you can say, God, I know I've been through things, but from here on, I'm going to trust you for what you want me to do. Joseph's story. The reason we're studying this story, because Joseph's story will be your story. What he experienced, you will experience. Joseph's journey will be your journey. Especially if you're young here today. If you want to know what your life is going to be like, read the story of Joseph. In your life, you will experience hatred. People who hate you. In your life, you will experience rejection. In your life, people you love will betray you sometimes. In your life, people will belittle you. You will deal with sexual temptation in your life. You will deal with false accusation. People will accuse you falsely. People will judge you and condemn you. You will experience bitterness in your life. You will experience loneliness in your life. You will experience strong desire for revenge. How dare they do that to me? After all I've done for them, how dare? I want to pay them back. You will be forgotten, even by the people who you did the most good to or for. You want to know what your life is going to look like? Look at the life of Joseph. You will experience Satan telling you, if you are a child of God, no way this could be happening to you. If you're really a child of God, you wouldn't experience this heartbreak. You wouldn't experience getting sick or being sick. You wouldn't experience going through relational breakups or divorce. If you're really the child of God, this wouldn't happen to you. But I want to tell you today that it happened to Joseph and he didn't do anything wrong. And if it happened to him, it will happen to you. How will you respond in those situations will determine where you end up. And if you will be go from pit to the penthouse. Life is not easy, people. Even with God, when we give our life to God, life is not going to be easy. But if we trust God, he will get us through it. Come on, somebody. If you will trust God, he will get you through hatred, rejection, betrayal, belittlement, sexual temptation, false accusation, condemnation, bitterness, loneliness. He will get you through it if you trust him. If anything could come out of this message today, is I hope that you would make a decision for yourself. God, I will trust you. I hope you can make a decision for yourself no matter what. No matter what my marriage is going through. No matter what's going on in my life. No matter what's going on in my business and my job. God, I will trust you. If you can trust God, you will live more joyful and peaceful life. It doesn't mean that your problems will disappear. But it means that you'll have peace in your problems if you trust God. But the loneliness, betrayal, rejection doesn't last forever. If you're a child of God, God doesn't just take you through those things and leave you there. There's a word in the Bible that I love so much. It's called suddenly. Suddenly God comes through. And Joseph goes from prison to a palace. And if God can do it for him, he will do it for you. And I'm not saying you'll get a palace. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that God can get you from your pit and what you're going through and get you to your dream. Or to your destiny that he created you for. God is a good God. This series is about going through the hard times in your life. This series is about how do you go through hatred and rejection and betrayal. This series is about all that. Now let's talk about Joseph. Joseph was a 17-year-old teenager. He was 11th brother born in a big family. He was born in a very dysfunctional family. And he didn't grow up, I don't think, with a dream that he's going to be somebody. I don't think Joseph did. What do 17-year-old teenagers think about? Yeah. Probably, what were you thinking when you were 17? I want to get a girlfriend, right? I want to maybe get a good car. Maybe he was thinking I could get a donkey and I could pimp up my donkey. Pimp out my donkey. Right? Or maybe a camel. You know, his camel was going to be like with cool hooves. Chrome. Chrome hooves. Camel. What do 17-year-old think about? Well, maybe he was thinking, okay, if I get married, I got to find me the most beautiful girl I can. Maybe I can get married. Maybe start my own family. Maybe get my own flock going. Build it up like my dad told me about how he built up sheep and goats. And that's what he was thinking. I want to tell you that Joseph's dream was too small. At 17, Joseph's dream was way too small. Bible doesn't even mention what he was dreaming about. And that's something about our dreams. They're too small. When I was 17, my dream was way too small. And today, I wish I had a bigger dream. And you will live your life, and at the end of your life, you will say, I wish I did more. I wish I had a bigger dream. I wish I had a bigger goal. You'll never say, oh, I wish my goal was too big. No, you will say, my goal was not big enough. And as Joseph is growing up, remember, he's the favorite one of his father, Jacob. His father made him a coat of many colors, a special coat. In those days, they didn't have fabrics of many colors, so it was hard to get. So he would, I don't know how his father made him this special coat. It spoke about royalty. He had a good life, but he had a too small of a dream. And then God comes in. Let's read Genesis 37 and see what happened. Verse 5. One night, a 17-year-old Joseph had a dream. And when he told his brothers about it, they hated him more than ever. You got to be careful who you tell your dream to. And yet you have to tell it. I believe when you tell a dream, you're taking a step of faith. I think Joseph was accepting a dream when he was telling that dream. He was saying to God, I like this dream. Let's do this. Listen to this dream, he said. Next verse, 7. We were out in a field, tying up bundles of grain. Suddenly, my bundle stood up. And your bundles all gathered around and bowed low before mine. His brothers responded, so you think you will be our king? Do you? Do you actually think you will reign over us? And they hated him all the more because of his dreams and the way he talked about him. Hold on, go back, 8. And the way he talked about him. Which way was that? He was 17. What do you think? He was being arrogant. And they were treating him like this little brother, spoiled brat, the father buys special clothes for. And now he's telling him a dream that looks like they're going to bow down to him. And so, but it's just the way he said it. It's just the way he said it, probably with a lot of arrogance in it. And what do you expect? He was 17. Soon Joseph had another dream. And again he told his brothers about it. Listen, I have had another dream, he said. The sun, the moon, and 11 stars bowed low before me. This time he told this dream to his father as well as to his brothers. But his father scolded him. What kind of dream is that? He asked. Will your mother, and watch, he's interpreting it. Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow to the ground before you? But while his brothers were jealous of Joseph, his father wondered what the dreams Matt. Let me ask you a question. Do you have a dream? Maybe you are older today. I know we don't have a lot of old people in our church, but maybe you're older and you're saying, I don't have a dream anymore. If you don't have a dream, your life is already over. If you don't have a dream, the devil is getting exactly what he's always wanted, is you to live a life without a dream or without a purpose. How do you know you have a dream? How do you know you have stopped dreaming? You know, in the last year, I have found myself sitting on a couch a lot and watching TV, football games, watching whatever, just wasting time on the internet. And this summer, God kind of rebuked me and said, hey, you're wasting time. And I'm like, I know, but God, what should I do? I already felt like I've achieved all my dreams. I know I'm young, but God has given me all the dreams. And I'm telling you, my dreams were too small. And so instead of asking God for bigger dreams, I just sat there relaxing on the couch. You remember when David was, God gave him all the dreams, made him a king. He started hanging out on the roof of a house a lot. You remember that? He didn't have to prove anything anymore. He was about late 40s, maybe David was. He didn't have to prove anything to anybody. So as his army is fighting the battles of God, he's taking his binoculars out and watching women from his rooftop penthouse. True story. Read your Bible. And eventually, he was tempted and he was fell into temptation, and it hurt a lot of people and caused a lot of pain in his household. It's dangerous to stop dreaming. It's dangerous to stop believing. Amen. It's dangerous to live a life without a dream. I don't care how old you are, God has a dream for you. This last time Pastor Tom was here, Stammen, and he told me, the first question he asked me, what are you dreaming about? And I'm like, Pastor Tom, God has given me all the desires of my heart. I can really say that. He's like, too small. And he starts telling me, you need an airplane. You got to start dreaming. I'm like, I don't need an airplane. He's like, it's not about what you need. It's about what you need to dream. You cannot stop dreaming. You got to believe God for bigger things. You need to exercise your faith. Because God will. And I felt like, he's like, you know what? I'm going to pray for you. And I'm like, please don't. He's like, I'm going to pray that God break your heart and show you some things so you can start dreaming again to solve some problems in this world. God, and I was so ashamed. I knew it was God because it was perfect timing. God was like, you've stopped dreaming. And so either you've stopped dreaming because your dream never came true, or you've stopped dreaming because all your dreams have come true. As long as you are alive, God wants you to make a bigger dream. Dream a bigger dream. Ask Him for what He wants you to do in this life. You were born for more than sitting in front of TV and eating chips or popcorn with salt and ranch and just wasting your life. You were born for more than that. And I'm talking to some older people who have stopped dreaming because either you achieved it or your dreams were broken and you never achieved it. Pick up your dream again. Ask God for what He wants you to do in this season of your life. Ask God what He wants you to do in this season of your life. I feel passionate about that. Thank you, God. How do you know you've stopped dreaming? You spend your energy unproductively. You are marking time instead of living your life. You kind of lost the sense of meaning and purpose. You go to church, but it doesn't really excite you because what can God do for me that I can't do for myself? If that's what you're saying, get a bigger dream. And I really feel like this message is a timely message in my life and in your life. God wants more. God wants us to, this building, let me just tell you, this is not going to be enough for us. We're going to have to buy another building. We're going to have to reach more people. We're going to have to go to all the world and preach the gospel because that's what God wants to do. And you know what? It's comfortable where we are now. Our bills are paid. But God says, if you only knew what I had for you. Pastor, some of you might say, Pastor, but is everyone supposed to have a dream or is just a few special people? I know what you're thinking. I'm not Joseph. I'm not David. I am not Paul or Peter or Daniel. I'm not all those people, God. I'm just a regular person, a regular Alex, regular Joe. Is everybody supposed to have a dream? Or is this, or a dream is insulated type of a thing just for special people? I want to show you something in the Bible, in Acts chapter 2, but also in Joel. I want to show you a verse, and I want you to see what God wants you to see. Let's go to Acts. Come on, let's put that up. It says, in the last days, God says, not Alex, not your pastor, but in the last day, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon, say it, all people. Who is all? All people. That's us. Amen? Your sons and daughters will prophesy. What is prophecy for? It's for a lot of things, but one of the things a prophecy for is to show the future. It's for the future. Watch. So your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. But watch this. And your old men and women will dream dreams. Here's a question. Why do old men have to dream dreams? Well, what is that all about? Is it because their life is so boring? There's nothing else to do, so God wants to entertain them at night? Is that why God says he wants the old man to dream? No. It's because old people have a way of getting stuck in their ways, in the routine. There's a comfort in a routine, right? You just do every day the same thing. You go to the same restaurant, sit at the same place, and you're ready to go. But God is saying, no, no, no. I don't care if you're old. I want to renew your youth like the eagle. I want to inspire you again. I want to make you believe again. I want to expand you. Expand your thinking. Expand your mind so you can trust me again. So you can go further. So you can start dreaming again. So you can receive that energy. God wants you to dream. God wants me to dream for all men, for all believers. Dreams are a golden ladder which you can climb to the mountaintop so you can see your future, so you can see your destiny. Dream is a golden ladder by which you can climb to the mountaintop to see your destiny. Dreams are an invisible energy that helps a man or a woman overcome years of adversity. All dreams are born, all good things are born in a dream world. Dreams are powerful. Dreams are so powerful. Did you know that many inventions that we have today started with a dream? For example, the engine, the guy who created an engine, I read a story, forgot his name, but read a story that he saw it in a dream. And when people are like, wow, I can't believe it's working. He's like, I can't believe what you just came up with. He's like, I didn't just came up with that. That was in my dreams. I've been dreaming about it for years. What's that guy, the Tesla guy? Nikola Tesla, he said, if you read his biography or his story, you'll understand that he saw things in the dreams, and things that he saw are like for years ahead. Now we even have a car, a Tesla. Walt Disney said, if you could dream it, you can do it. And he knows what he's talking about because he built a billion-dollar business from a mouse. If you could dream it, you can do it. Martin Luther King said, I have a dream that all people will be equal, that they will be judged not based on the color of their skin, but on their character. He had a dream. And listen, I want to kind of take a moment here and say that we live in a culture where the devil has gotten into our culture and has been able to divide us. Have you noticed the division we have right now in our nation? White against black. Black against white, Hispanic, and everybody. I mean, the devil has been able to divide men against women, straights against gays. I mean, it's just been such a huge division in our nation. And you know what I really think he's all about, the devil is all about? He's about killing your dreams. He's about to tell you, hey, if you are a foreigner in this country, you can't make it. If you're black Oh, everything is stuck. The system is stacked up against you. You can't make it in this country. And here's what I came to tell you, and I believe this is from God, that Joseph was a foreigner. He was a Jew in Egypt. Okay? He was a Jew in Egypt. He had a criminal record. He was falsely accused of rape. And if God can take a man like that, who's been a slave, who's been in prison for many years, who's been falsely accused of rape, and if he could raise him up and make him second in command in Egypt, there's nothing God cannot do for you if you can believe him. There's nothing that God cannot do through you if you can believe him. Now you can make all kinds of excuses. My past, my parents, my this, my that, single mom, single dad. You can make all kinds of excuses. I don't have a good language. That was my excuse for a long time. You can use all kinds of excuses, but that's just, devil loves for us to make excuses. But God says, can you trust me? I know your past is not great, but can you trust me? Because if you can trust him, your future is great. Your future is great with God if you can trust him. If you can make a decision, not out loud, I don't need you to do it out loud, but if you can make a decision in your heart right now, like really get angry and say, I will believe God in yourself. And when devil comes tomorrow and says, that's not God, God is not going to help you, and you say, I believe God. And when devil comes and say, you failed, I believe God, I trust God. If you can do that, God will take you from your pit to your destiny in Jesus' name. God can do it. God can do it. Yeah, you can clap your hands. Yep. In the last day, I will pour out my spirit, says the Lord. And your sons and daughters will prophesy on all people. Sorry, I forgot that one. In the last day, I will pour out my spirit on all people, on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will see dreams. Say, God, let it happen to me. God, let it happen to me. Let this happen to me. You said on all, and I'm a part of all. Let this happen to me. Your dreams. God, oh man, if you look at the Bible, God often talked to people through dreams. Daniel had a dream. Joseph had a dream. Peter had a dream, opened the door to Gentiles. Paul had a dream. A man came from Macedonia and told him, hey, come and help us. John Revelator had a dream. I mean, all these people had a dream. Here's why you need a dream. Here's why you can't live another day just going through the motions. Your dream will help you overcome huge adversities. Your dream will help you overcome, like Joseph's dream helped him overcome slavery. It helped him overcome prison. It helped him overcome all that bitterness he felt against his own brothers who sold them into slavery. In the first 10 years of our ministry, the only way I was able to stand and overcome all the adversity that came our way is because of a dream that God gave me before we started the church. I told you, right, how I was a youth leader in a church, and the type of a church I grew up with. Here, can I tell you this story? I grew up in a church kind of like Hutterite community type of a church. All right? You know what Hutterites are? They have their own community. Okay? They have kind of their own language. Well, I grew up like that. I grew up in a Ukrainian community in this town. And we kind of didn't wander off a lot. We kind of just, you know, stayed to ourselves. Our relationships were just in that community. We married people from that community. That's how it was. And one day, it's interesting. One day, a friend of mine invited me to go to a service in the evening. This was my third service on Sunday evening. And I came to this Sunday service, and this lady stood up. She didn't know me. This is the first time she saw me. She looked at me, and I was sitting right where you are sitting, Tamika. And she said, God is calling you to be a pastor. What? Imagine the shock. Just like that. God is calling you to be a pastor. And she starts talking to me about it. And I'm like, no. She's like, I'm going to call you a pastor from now on. I'm like, don't call me a pastor. I'm not a pastor. I'm a youth leader. That's, you know, it's like calling a doctor a person who's not a doctor, who's a nurse. And it's like, don't do that. It's like, nope, I'm going to call you a pastor. And so God kind of started speaking through her, and she said, you need to start your own church. And I'm like, what? I never thought about it, guys. Never in my life have I thought that I'll be a pastor of a church or start my own church. I was in a closed community. And God is saying, leave your community and go to these people you don't know, and they don't know you. They don't have an accent, you do, and you go and preach. And it's like, what? I said, God, you got to confirm it to me. It can't be just her telling me this. Show me. Speak to me personally. Well, I waited for him to speak to me audibly. He didn't. I was waiting. God, come on. I was like in a room by myself, you know, meditating on the word, and God, speak to me. He didn't. But one night I had a dream, and I'll never forget. And this dream sustained me through the 10 years of hardship. I had a dream. In this dream, I'm walking on a dock, and I see a big boat, fishing boat, commercial fishing boat, at least 100 foot long. It's painted brand new color, white, perfect white. It's shining because the sun is so bright, it's shining. I see a captain, an older captain, coming with a beard, and he's handed me the keys to the boat in my dream. He's like, here. And I'm like, oh, thank you. I grab the keys. I go inside the boat, and we go into the ocean. This is a dream, so take it as a dream. It's not a Bible or anything. We go into this ocean to fish. We have this big round thing with a lot of fishing line on it and hooks. So what we're doing is we're putting line, and there's hooks on them, and we're baiting the hooks, and we're letting them out into the ocean. We're about to catch some big fish because these hooks are huge. I mean, they're huge hooks. So it's not baby fish. It's not little fish. It's huge fish. And so I'm doing that. The next thing I see on the tip of the boat, or in front of the boat, a nose of a boat, there's a fishing pole going crazy. Going crazy. I'm like, yes, we got a fish. So I run to this fishing pole and I start pulling that fishing pole out. And it feels like something huge is coming out. And when I pull it out, it's a small fish. So I get it inside the boat, and before I can unhook it, it falls off by itself and starts flapping. I'm like, we don't need this fish. This was like a, you know, bait fish or whatever, and we don't use that kind of bait. So let's just throw it in the water. So I grab that fish, and it flapping in my hand, and it cut me, so I have blood on my hand. And I'm like, dropped her again, and I'm picking her up, and she's flapping. I'm like, and suddenly I hear the voice of my crewmates or members of my crew, and they're like, hey, drop that fish, we got bigger fish to catch, drop that one. I'm like, what? So I look up, and here I'm seeing a huge, on a big hook, on a hoist, there's a huge, beautiful color fish already hanging. And I look at that, and I said, did we catch that? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, what are we gonna do with it? And I'm not speaking to them. I'm communicating telepathically, maybe spiritually. You know how, what? Something like that. I'm speaking to them through my mind. We're communicating. We're not talking like this. We're talking here. And that's why I know that was a God dream, because I never forgot it. And it's been 15 years. And it's still as vivid and bright in my head as it was the day I saw it. And they're like, I'm like, what are we going to do with that fish? They're like, well, we're going to clean it out. Clean the guts out, throw it back into the ocean. You know what ocean represents? In the Bible, you know what the ocean is? Anybody? World. Throw back the in a world, and we're going to put the fish on ice and go more fishing. How did that dream sustain you, Pastor Alex? Well, every time I would come to church on Sunday, and we would have 10 people, 20 people, 30 maximum people, I just showed my team a chart from 2011. You know how many people we had in 2011? And that's 9 years of my ministry. 50, 45, 55. That's 10 years of ministry. no matter what I've done. And you know, I would have this great idea. Okay, we're going to do this, and we're going to reach the people of our community. We're going to get thousands of people saved. And we do it, and nobody gets saved. One time, we did a guest giveaway. Any of you remember that? On the east side of town, we did a guest giveaway. We gave away 800 cars with gas. We filled 800 cars with gas. That was Saturday. We're like, okay, Sunday's coming. We invited everybody of all those people in those cars to our church. And next Sunday, that next day, we're like, that's it. We're going to have a whole bunch of people. We better make more chairs, you know, bring more chairs for people. We come to church on Sunday. Three people show up. And you know what they wanted? More gas. No matter what we've done. You know how I felt on Monday? I wanted to crawl in a little ball in my bed, cover myself, and breathe myself too. That's what I wanted to do. What sustained a person? What sustains a person in prison for many years? What sustained people through heartaches and different betrayals? A dream. And if it's a dream of God, it will give you energy and give you power to endure whatever life brings your way. That's why you need a dream. Even if you never achieve it, if you have a dream, it will energize you. And just think about it. Even if you never achieve it, God said to Abraham, I will make you a father of many nations. And all he had was one son. The blessed one. I mean, he had other ones, but one, right? And he never saw it in his life. But looking back, now that we see the history and story, Israel is huge. Look what God has done. If you can only believe him, if you can only trust him, I know you could be going through hell right now, but if you can trust him, if you could say inside to yourself, I will trust him. No matter what this life brings me, I will trust him. I will trust him. I will trust him. What he promised, he will fulfill. I will trust him. Some of you are like, Pastor, I don't have a dream from God. How do I get one? Well, here's a few points I want you to write. How do you get your dream from God? Number one, God speaks through regular dreams. Now, not all dreams you have at night are from God. Could you agree with that? There is dreams where you're flying. There's dreams where you have your teeth falling out. There's dreams where you killed somebody and now you're trying to hide the body. Come on. There's dreams you're running from cops and they're almost getting you, but you're getting away. There's dreams where you got shot. Right? There's dreams where you're falling. There's a lot of sexual dreams. Those are just chemical body dreams, you know. But there's those dreams that God gave you, and you can never forget it. And it stays with you. It has some kind of a meaning. It has some kind of a direction for your life. Those are the ones you got to hold on to. So God can speak through dreams. In book of Job, not Job, Job, same spelling. Chapter 33, God speaks once. A man does not hear or understand it. So he speaks again. He speaks through situations. And then he says he speaks through dreams. He opens his mind as a man is sleeping and then imparts the vision that he has for you. Okay? And then he closes it. And then you wake up and you're like, oh, I had a dream. Write that down. So God speaks through dreams. God speaks through visions. Are you guys bored? No? Can I have like 5 more minutes? Maybe 7? Okay, thank you. God speaks through visions. Okay, a lot like Daniel had a vision. There's a difference between dream and a vision. And if you want to do more research, you can do that on your own. But one day I was sitting in my office on a floor, on a carpet, you know, just praying. And God spoke to me something. He said, in 20 days, I saw the number 20. In 20 days, the person you're praying for will be released. Here's what I was praying for. I was praying for a guy who, kind of a criminal, served his time already, and the government will not release him. Because there was other things they were trying to attach to him, you know. And I was praying. His mom was praying. His mom asked me to pray, so I was praying for him. And God says, in 20 days. So I go and tell his mom, I tell my wife that in 20 days, God said, all right? I wrote it down. I actually have that card. I have a box in my office, and it has small cards like all the testimonies. And so I write them down. And 20 days passes. Nothing happens. Not a word. His mom calls me that morning on the 20th day, and she says, I already told all my coworkers, you better not, you know, this better be a dream from God or vision from God. I already told my coworkers. And I'm like, what have I done? Why didn't I just say that like regular Christians? Just like, okay, God is going to do it. I'm going to pray. That's it. Why did I have to name numbers? And so in the morning, I'm stressing out. What if it doesn't happen? She'll call me a false prophet. And that's it. So at 6 p.m., my wife was working at H&R Block then. So she is driving from work, picked me up, and we're going on a date. Because it's the 20th day. And this is how I remember it. Exactly. Because the 20th day was a Valentine's Day. We're going for dinner. We just recently got married, and maybe 2 years, and we're going for dinner, and nothing has happened. It's 6 p.m. They're not going to call anymore. The government is closed. The judges are taking out their honeys, right? They're taking them to dinner too. So I'm a false prophet. As we're driving on 26 and Cliff going towards Minnesota, right before the cliff, we were going towards cliff, I get a phone call on that stop sign. I know. I can never forget. You can never forget those moments, God moments. I get a call from his mother. And you know what she's yelling? She's saying, I just got a phone call from her son. And you know what he said? They were taking him from one jail to another. Because there was no room in one jail, they were taking him to another. And their bus broke down. So they called the judge and asked him, what should we do with this prisoner? And you wouldn't believe this. The judge says, let him go. 20 days. 20 days. Can God speak to you like that? Yes. Does that happen a lot? No. I wish it happened more often. Okay. Now, third thing, God can speak to you through prophecy, like Pastor Judy prophesied in my life. Pastor Tom prophesied in my life. And there's, I told Tom, I said, what you prophesied 12 years ago actually already happened. I was bragging to him this last time he was here that many of the things he prophesied already happened. So God can speak to you through prophetic things. God can speak to you through his word. When you read the Bible, do you read it for other people? Or are you trying to find a word for yourself? One day I was reading a word in Isaiah 55, 5, and Isaiah 55, 5 jumped at me. And I was like, that's my word. That's a prophetic word. That's what God spoke into my life. Some of you are like, what's Isaiah 55, 5? Well, check it. Do it yourself. But now it's my verse. It's forever going to be my verse, Isaiah 55, 5. Next, God speaks to you through preachers. Through preaching, amen? Like when I preach, sometimes people send me a letter, an email, or text. Pastor, God spoke to me. Yes, he can speak to you through preaching. And sometimes I'm interested because he tells you something I wasn't preaching about. I'm like, that's not what I said. I'm like, but that's what God said. Because you needed to hear this. Amen? God can speak to you through circumstances. God could speak to you through your pain. God can speak to you audibly. Now, why did I save this last one, audibly the last? Because a lot of people, especially spiritual babies, they want God to speak to them audibly. I can't hear God's voice. He doesn't talk to me. Because you're trying to hear him audibly. And let me just be honest with you. In my lifetime, I've never heard God audibly. And he speaks to me all the time. So let me just make a joke here. If your pastor doesn't hear God audibly, who do you think you are? No, I'm just kidding. But can God speak audibly? Yes, he spoke to Moses through the burning bush. He spoke to Paul when he blinded him on the road to Damascus. God can speak audibly. It doesn't happen a lot, so don't expect it like every day. Now, if you're hearing voices every day, maybe you need help. So, and you're like, God is speaking to me all the time. He just won't shut up. That's probably not God. Maybe you just got high and now you're hearing voices. But I've had people call me and like, Pastor, God spoke to me. And then they tell me, well, I was kind of high, so I don't know if it's God or not. And throw that one out. Throw that one out, man. Hallelujah. Are you enjoying this? Is this helping you? This is awesome. I'm running out of time. Here's what you should know about your dream. Well, lights off already? You guys hungry, aren't you, in the back there? Come on, I still have some points. The people said I can have 5 to 7 minutes. That was 10 minutes ago? Okay, fine. All right. Here, I'm just going to read this. Here's some you should know about your dream. Your dream is not about you. Joseph's dream was not about him. It was about saving lives. Your dream will often make people mad. Your dream will probably not make you money. It will cost you money sometimes. Your dream does not have an expiration date. So if it didn't happen when you thought it's going to happen, it doesn't mean the dream is done. No, it doesn't have an expiration date. Your dream could be local, or your dream could be global. Your dream could be just for you. It could be just for your family. It could be just for this community. It could be just for this region. It could be just for this nation, or it could be for the world. We have different categories of dreams. But fear not. If your dream is local and small, Bible says, do not despise small beginning, because all Abraham ever saw was one son. But what did God promise him? The nations. You could be raising a son or a daughter, and you're thinking, I'm not doing really much for God. I'm faithful, I'm a believer. But what if God can do something through your child? Through your son, through your daughter. What if your child is the one who's going to discover the cure for cancer? And you brought him into this world. So don't despise small. Say, God, whatever you've given me, I'm going to be faithful and I'm going to trust you with it. Whatever it is, even if it's small, I'm going to trust you. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. But if you come to God, come to Him in faith, because He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. What God did for Joseph, God is going to do for you in your area. Doesn't mean you will have a palace, but you will reach the destiny and you will live a life fulfilled. In Jesus' mighty name, I declare it now. Did God speak to you through this message? Will you ask Him, revive my dream, God? Revive my dream. Revive your dream in my life. And I don't care how old you are. Maybe you need a second dream. Or maybe you need a third dream. Say, God, everything you have for me, I want. I'm not going to waste my life by the television. I'm going to impact my city. I'm going to impact the nations. I'm not going to waste my life another day without a dream. Amen. Clap your hands and bless God.
Thanks for tuning in to New Life Sermon Series Online. If you're blessed by these messages and are interested in helping spread the Word of God to others, make an investment today. you can give at newlifechurchsf.org. If you have a story or a testimony to share, let us know on our website as well. We hope you have a blessed day and enjoy today's message by Pastor Alex.